Much.
Okay, we are going to have the meat of the program, okay? My name is Charlotte Wilson, I'm an addict. Hi, everyone. I love you too. I just met this young lady, but already it's like boom, on and popping, okay? So she's going to tell you what she's got to say. And help me welcome Geraldine.
It's crazy.
Geraldine is from Boston and from different areas.
I need to stand up.
Okay. I'm Geraldine. I'm an addict.
Hey, Geraldine.
And I am recovering from the disease of addiction. And I'm truly here through God's grace, His mercy, and the fellowship and program of Narcotics Anonymous. I am originally from Boston, Massachusetts, actually Cape Cod, Massachusetts, via Boston, all through recovery. And July 17th, I landed here in Georgia, and I live in the East End. So I've been here for almost four months, in the state of Georgia, and I'm loving it. And I'm not going back.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going back to the snow, to the cold. So I'm grateful. And I'd like to thank WECNA for taking a risk on an addict like me, just coming here, and then for somebody to ask me to share. You know, it's like, me, why me? But, you know, as my sponsor always says, why not you? Mm-hmm. You know, because I qualify. You know, I got here like everybody else on the pain train, and recovery has been a journey, as my predecessors have said, and buckle up for the ride of your life. And that's what I've done. And I'm still buckled up. My clean date is July 4th, 1994. Mm-hmm. And once I celebrated July 15th, I ended my term there and I moved on to this term. So I am excited to be in this journey and to go on to another level in my life in recovery. And since I've been here, it's been awesome. I need to say, like, this, you know, Atlanta has all these different areas that I'm learning, and every area that I've been in, I've been welcome. And I want to say that Narcotics Anonymous is worldwide, like they say, and I'm so glad that I've planted my feet where God planted me, where He wanted me to be. Hmm. So with that, my topic is I'm grateful. One second. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful and expectations falling short. So, and I definitely do qualify with that topic. When I got here, I'm grateful just because I have a chance to live another life in the same life, you know, a different life in the same lifetime. I'm grateful for that God chose me to do that. And my gratitude speaks when I care and share the NA way. So, you know, like I said, when someone asks me, I can never say no to this program because this program has never said no to me. So I always have to keep that up front, you know. And I'm grateful, you know, and I want to go into the literature, but I just want to, like, share a little bit about me coming here and, like, having clean time and having to do it all over again with clean time. You know, I had to come here and I had to raise my hand and I had to get the numbers and I had to tell you who I was, because I could, you know, I could come here and lie and not say the truth, you know, but being in recovery, you know, honesty is one of the three spiritual principles that are indispensable, that without honesty, I can't do anything in my recovery. I can't go anywhere or do anything. And God can't work. You know, He can't work in the way He works if I'm not honest. So I had to come here as a newcomer and feeling like, oh my God, like going into a meeting and saying who I am, where I'm from, what happened, how'd I get here, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like broken record, I felt like. But I know that I had to do that in order for me to get help, because I know that a closed mouth will not get fed. You know, I've been here, you know, some time, and it doesn't mean that I've arrived, because I never will arrive. Like, I keep that spirit of humility very, very close to me, and I live in that for the most part, because I came in here, I was arrogant, you know, and I still can be from time to time. Doesn't mean that, you know, because I'm not, that it doesn't pop up. Like, my character defects don't go away. They just are arrested, like my disease. Like, I got that, you know. So I have to be very careful about that. But when I came here, like I said, it was like you know, I felt the love, and I still feel the love, you know, and I'm grateful that God put me here. Grateful that he instilled in me that I could do anything through him. You know, you can move there. You know, even being, you know, 57 years old, 20 years clean, you know, newly 10 years divorced, and, you know, back then, you know, back there, I was like, my life, oh my God, what kind of life is this in recovery clean? But, you know, God has a way of preparing me and all of us for the things that he has for us. Because it's really not about me. It's really about him and his infinite wisdom and his grace and his mercy and everything that he has for me right now. Every day of my life. So I try to stay in that realm. And, you know, gratitude, you know, my sponsor always says a grateful heart will never use, you know, and I always keep that up front. I'm grateful for the things that are not good. You know, I'm grateful for the mistakes that I made. Made a lot of them and still going to make a lot. But I'm grateful for all that. The learning process. I've learned, like, if I don't learn from my mistakes, I'm going to repeat them. I'm going to keep doing the same old thing because they say you keep, you know, insanity, doing the same old thing, expecting different results. That's it, you know. So I have to stay grateful for the little things in my life. Because I get up, because I'm healthy, because God doesn't have to do what he does for me, but he does it for me because he loves me. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff that has, like, come to, like, full circle when I got here. Like, I was talking to a recovering addict from my hometown. It's no coincidence that God will put somebody here, you know, in the midst where it's like, I think I'm by myself, but I'm not by myself. Mm-hmm. And just because I don't know you doesn't mean that, you know, you aren't my brothers and you aren't my keeper. You know, but just seeing someone that I've grown into, grown up in recovery, who is my predecessor, be here and call me and be here and just, you know, support me is like, it's all God. Like, because I had no idea. And I love you, Walter. And I'm grateful that God put you here, you know, because now it's like, you got to tell the truth. You know, and not that I wasn't, but, you know, it just like, God just reaffirms everything that I do and I put forward, you know, and I'm grateful for, like, the things that in my life that I didn't want to be, you know, grateful for or be responsible for. You know, my children, they were raised in the fellowship, and now they're all gone, and you know, I got married in this process. I met somebody 60 days clean, and, you know, like they say, oh, 13 step in, and, you know, I'm grateful for that, because that kept me, you know, it enhanced the woman that I am today. That relationship enhanced me, because out of everything that I went through in that relationship, I didn't use. Right. I use for relationships. That's why I used in the first place, because when you come in here and you do some work and you go through a fourth step and you find out all the reasons that, you know, why you did this, this, and this, and who you are, you know, and that's the reason why I used drugs, was because, you know, the way I felt about myself and because of the way I thought you wanted me to be in a relationship. I didn't know nothing about relationships, you know, and so I commend that relationship. Like, I'm glad about that relationship. I don't have any remorse or regrets or resentments about that relationship, because it made me who I am. You know, it helped me to get closer to God, number one, because he's the beginning and the end of everything in my life. And it helped me to accept the fact that you can do this. Like, you know, you're not the first person that, you know, your heart is broken and you're devastated and you, the man left you in your marriage. You're not the first person. You're not unique, Geraldine. You know, and so all that helped me with all that. So with all that, it was, you know, I started my road on this journey, you know. And so I, you know, all there, and even in relationships, being clean with substantial clean time, like being devastated, 13 years clean, and, you know, going back to only what I know. Like, today I'm doing what I don't know, like what I can't see. You know, trusting and believing, and that's the faith that I have in the God of my understanding, that no matter what I go through, he's there. Matter of fact, he's been there. He just came back to get me to go through what I got to go through, you know, and I understand that about him today, you know, and that's my gratitude. That's where my gratitude mostly is like with the God of my understanding. You know, when I came here, and it talks about, like, expectations through this whole thing, like, I remember my sponsor always said, like, you know, can't put expectations on anything or anyone, because we're human and we'll fail you. And, you know, and I got that. Took me a while. I went through some pain behind that, but I got that. You know, and when I got here, you know, my family had some expectations, you know, and I wasn't aware of their expectations. Well, why would I be? They're not mine, so I don't have any idea what they are, you know. But my thing was, you know, I'm coming, you opened your door, you know, I'm going to go to another level in my life, you know. My youngest son went to school in 2005 in college, and I was like empty nest. And I was happy, like, thank you, God, I'm newly divorced, like, I'm going to get a life, it's all about me, like, yes, you know. And then he placed this child in my life. And so I was like, okay, you know, and I love my granddaughter. I couldn't imagine my life without her today, because she was the rock that God put in my path. Because if I realized that now, I didn't think of it then, but if I didn't have her, I would have, God knows what would have happened. I might have not be standing here today if he didn't put her. And I realized that, you know, but it took me a long time to get there, because I didn't want her. And not because I didn't love her, because she's not mine. I raised my kids. Like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. But God saw different, you know. She was 4 months old. She's 9 today. So we on this journey together. You know, she grew up in the rooms. She's still growing up in the rooms, you know, and that's the way it is, you know. And so I'm a grandmother taking care of a child, you know, I'm doing it. And I look at it now. I didn't look at this before. It was like a curse. Like, really, God, why me? Like, oh, my God, I went through some stuff. And now I look at it like she's a total blessing in my life. You know, without her, I don't know where I would be. And so we're doing this thing together. I'm not saying, like, sometimes I still feel like, you know, when I can't do this, and this, like, I get angry at her parents, you know. But I got to remember, like, you know, they are where they are, and I have to look at the positive of everything, and it brings the gratitude back in, where it's like, you know, Geraldine, thank God you're available for her. Because when my kids were that age, I just was getting clean. So at 4 months old, I wasn't available for my children. So I look at it like he gave me a whole second chance to do it again. You know, so, but it took a minute. I couldn't get that. It just took a minute for everything. And thank God that he allows us to, like, go, you know, do my will. You know, his will be done, not mine. Okay, fine. But lots of times I, you know, not think, like, his will is, I couldn't figure out what his will was for me. You know, today I know that his will is not my will, because my will is full of chaos, confusion, hurt, pain. All that ugly stuff. So when I'm in that mode, I know, like, oh, you got to shift it, turn it off. It's about God, you know, and I have to go to the other side. Thank God for that. And that's where the gratitude speaks, too, because I don't have to, like, keep going over and over. I can butt my head 5 times instead of 25 times, and I can keep it, and I can move it on, you know. Not saying that I, you know, don't want to, like, sometimes want to do what I want to do, because I do, because I think I'm grown. I know what I'm doing. I know me. I know what I'm doing. Like, are you serious? But I know God knows me best and knows me better and wants better for me and loves me more than I could love myself. And so I have to always keep that in check and always remember that. You know, so my family had some expectations. Things didn't go well. You know, but one thing, when I got here, I didn't have a job. I stayed with my family. I did have a vehicle, so I was blessed to have some transportation. So what I did was, what I knew how to do, was go to meetings. I found the meetings in my area. I was in a meeting 8 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and sometimes at night. And I did that for almost 3 months, 90 days. And I was talking to a recovering addict today, and he brought it to my attention that God brought me full circle right back to where I started 20 years ago. And that's exactly what he did. He brought me right back to going to meetings, recovery first, staying clean must come first, no matter what, you can't use, all the stuff, because of everything that was going on in the household. I came here, 5 adults, 5 children, big, beautiful home. But 5 adults, 5 children, and 3 of those adults are women, there's something definitely going to take place that is going to take place, you know. And it did. But the whole time, thank you, God, that I was able to practice the spiritual principles. And I thank this area, I thank this Georgia, you know, I don't know, West End, South End, East End, all of you, because the spiritual principles finally, like, the light went on. And I said, wow, that's exactly what recovery is all about, is the spiritual principles. So I thank, you know, I'm grateful for that because God brought me here. I didn't have a clue about that, where I came from. Not saying that we didn't, you know, practice them or we didn't work them and we didn't do them. But because when I came here, they were so evident in recovery that it was like a piece that I picked up and put in my toolbox because I knew I'm going to need them. And I'm glad that I took them. You know, and then I have them, and I'm working them, and at any given moment I might not be, but I know like I can get slapped right back into a spiritual principle, and I'm grateful for that. So with my family, like they had some expectations, and I fell short, you know. But you know, that's I'm not perfect. But I didn't have any clue that I was going to fall short, because I didn't have a clue that they had expectations on me, because that's not how I've been living for the last 20 years. You know, I do what I do. If I disappoint you, I apologize and move on, and I try not to do it again. And if I do, oh, well, like I do, but I'm not perfect. And for the most part, people in my life know that and accept me for who I am. You know, that's the other piece about that. But in my niece and my nephew, and they knew me when they were growing up, but they didn't know me as I grew up. You know, not realizing that I just got introduced to my little girl 20 years ago, and I've just been teaching her how to live and how not to be, who she can be, and what she can get me into at any given moment, and they have no clue about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like kind of like bumping heads, like, but the blessings were like, and anybody that knows me, and you all don't, but he does, like, this thing here is like my worst enemy, you know, because I got to have the last word, got to be right, you know, don't tell me. And I've learned that by being silent sometimes says a whole bunch about the person that you are and the person that you're becoming in God. So I had to practice that, which was very hard. You know, in my anger, I'm a survivor of domestic violence when I was using, and I have anger, and my anger is like from anger, and it goes right to rage. There's no in between. I see black, you know, I'm better at it today because I've recognized it and it scares me. So I'm grateful that I'm scared of my anger. Just, you know, take a seat. I'm gonna nurture you because it could get me where I was and everything that was going on. I could be probably locked up in the state of Georgia and my poor baby would probably be back in Massachusetts or under the custody of DFAC here, or DFACS here in Georgia. However, that didn't happen because I knew better. I knew I have a tape in my mind that I play and I go over and I understand those kind of things. So it didn't work out that way. But now I want to go and I want to talk about in the Living Clean, and it talks about under the category of the relationships, and it talks about like a leap of faith. So it talks about, like it says, like, throughout our recovery, we improve our behavior, our attitudes. I just need a drink of water. Sorry. Throughout our recovery, we improve our behavior, our attitudes, our perspectives, our lives. The awakenings we have as we work the first 11 steps gives us the ability to act in a new way. Excuse me. We ask for knowledge of a higher power's will for us and the power to carry that out. After all, the surrendering and house cleaning in the previous steps, a constant conscious contact in the 11th step changes us. The more we embrace our powerlessness, the more deeply empowered we are taken. We take action in our lives. Our basic tech tells us that we find God's will for us in the things we value the most. We may describe this in very spiritual language, or just knowing the feeling of being at one with what we are doing. I know I'm doing my higher power's will when all that noise in my head goes away. Excuse me, and then it goes on to say, this is all about faith. Living our dreams requires that we believe they are possible. When we act on faith, we move in a positive direction. It can be very frightening and sometimes a little weird. Taking a leaf of faith asks us to trust either that there will be ground beneath our feet or we will be able to fly. Small steps give us the courage to leap. And so, you know, I just, all that stuff that was going on just like had me in a place like, God, you didn't bring me here for that. Like, I took a leap of faith in February, and I trust you, and I believe in you, and I know you didn't bring me here for that. That's not why you brought me here. And all the chaos and confusion and drama going on, and like I was able to like surrender at a deeper level with the humility that I needed and thanking God and being grateful that he loved me in my process. Because if I had not acted the way that I should have acted, if I acted the way that I normally would act, like I said, I would have been, you know, like, who do they think they are? Like, they don't know me? Because I'll blow up this MFing house and call it a day. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where my thoughts went. But then it was like, you know, and my God speaks to me in my voice. He doesn't speak to me in any, it's not a cloud, it's not a burning bush. It's my voice. And he said, you can't do that. Why would you want to do that? And I had to stop in the midst of all that anger and rage and like, you don't know who I am and I don't need you. And yeah, and then the voice said again, yeah, you do need them. You don't have any place to go. The other voice, yeah, you have a place to go. You can always go to a shelter. You can do because I am, you know, I work in human services, so I know how the system works. I could get myself and my granddaughter. But the other voice said, no, I didn't bring you here for that. So I had to surrender again at a deeper level, and like I had to like close my mouth. When they said things to me, they beat me up emotionally. I had to close my mouth because I knew that I had to trust God and believe. Couldn't see it. Wasn't feeling it. Just, God, where are you? So I prayed, I meditated, I went to meetings, I shared with other recovering addicts. They loved on me. Lita, I love you. You know, like the women, like where I come from, like the women are okay, but certain women aren't okay. And I always grew up with this thing about like, you know, women don't want to talk to me because of how I look. And, you know, and some of that is true, Geraldine, but what's really going on with you? You know, because that's where my sponsor takes me. What's going on with you? You know, and not, you know, because sometimes you look at the outside of somebody and you see all this, but you have no idea what's in the inside. There's a little girl in there that's hurt, that's has been abandoned, that, you know, doesn't think anybody loves her. You know, so the big girl puts the mask on so the little girl can survive. But I don't have to do that anymore. Because I am who I am, and if you got a problem with who I am, what I look like, especially with what I look like, you need to talk to him. Because he's the one that made this, not me. I didn't have anything to do with this. And I had to come to a realization with that because it was holding me back from, like, you know, getting blessings. You know, my low self-esteem would kick in. Like, no, that's not for you. What are you, crazy? Because you think so I had to stop all that noise in my head, and it talked about that and that. And, you know, what I read, like, you stop the noise when it's not. When the noise stops, it's God's will. When there's noise, it's not God's will. So I had to do all that, you know. And, you know, I just wanted to, are we coming? So I just wanted to, you know, stop all that. So I did. So I come here, and I'm in this place, and this is going on, and this is going on. Mind you, I got a child, you know, that's there, and, you know, we didn't come from this. You know, I've been on my own for 10 years. I've been divorced 10 years, been on my own. My kids are gone. It's just me and her. So I don't know how to live in a community setting. You have to teach me how to do that because I haven't done that in 10 years. My kids are gone. No, it's just me and her. We come home, it's like, we fend, you know, fend for yourself, little girl, because Nana's tired. She got, you know, and that's how we do it. And here, it was a whole different thing. So I had to understand that, okay, Geraldine, jump on board. Do what you got to do. You know, be a part of. And I did that. But it wasn't good enough. Everything I did wasn't good enough. So the bottom line is, like, I surrendered again. I said, okay, God, you got to get me out of here. You got to get me out of here. I prayed, I went to meetings, you know, I shared, I did everything that my predecessors told me what to do. You know, I never stopped doing the things that I learned working here when I first came in here. I still do those things with time. I have to if I want to stay. And I heard this beautiful woman say, just keep coming, you know, and that's the key. Just keep coming, even if you don't understand, if you're confused, if you're not comfortable, just keep coming. It'll all make sense, you know, in God's time. When you're ready, when he feels you're ready to accept what needs to be revealed to you, it'll make sense, you know. So, you know, my blessings, being blessed in that house, you know, being safe, my granddaughter being safe, you know, because, you know, and I lived in the hood. I lived in Dorchester, Massachusetts, Fields Corner, Geneva Ave, gang bang. Oh, I lived in all that stuff with her. I mean, going into my apartment and here comes gunfire. And we're like, you know, I'm like, thank God we're upstairs. But I'm always worried when my family comes, my kids and my grandkids, you know, what is somebody going to start shooting now? So I understand all that. But where I came, when I came here, I'm up north. And it's a much more country setting, and it's perfect, you know, for her. It's perfect for her, and I've been able to venture into the city, you know, in the south side, and so I'm grateful for that. So I've seen, you know, I can live anywhere. I know I can live anywhere, because the God, it's not where you live, it's how you're living. And if you're connected with God, if you understand it, you can live anywhere and stay clean. I know that. That's without a doubt. I'm not confused about that. So I'm still clean. I'm not using, even though I want to rip some heads out, rip their throats out, you know, even burn their house down. All these thoughts going through my head, you know. But I know, Geraldine, you can't do that stuff. You are in the state of Georgia. You are not in Massachusetts. It ain't going to happen. You ain't going, like, you don't know those people like you know. You don't know nobody here like you know up there. You know, maybe I could get a pass up there or a little less, you know, slap on the wrist. But here, I ain't getting no pass, you know. So just doing what I know how to do and not doing nothing sometimes but praying. Because I hear people say, if you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Okay, that's true, but you got to do something. You got to pray. You got to at least pray. Because if you don't do nothing, you're going to get nothing. And I don't want to get nothing. I want to get something. So I came, and I'm here, and what happened, the blessings kept just flowed. No job, no place to live, and a week before, I have a job, and I have a place to live. And a week before I moved into my place to live, my apartment, actually it's a house, I was blessed. I started my job a week later, you know, and I can't tell you how in awe I am of God and the miracles that he does. You know, I've been here 4 months and I have a job, a place to live, and I know that contentment is all God, all you need is what, contentment is what God gives you, what God knows that you need. And I have had contentment most of my recovery, because I've had everything that I need. I still have what I need. But the blessing is like what he did for me and moved me so quickly. I just am grateful to the point where it's like I surrendered all again at another level. I'm surrendered, and this time it's all about him. I'm not going off the path. I'm not getting swayed by the disease or my voices or whatever. I'm staying in God's will and in his lane, because I know he's already gave me some evidence after 4 months. He showed me what he's all about. He showed me what he could do. So for me to go and do what I want to do, when I know that what he can do, even in the midst of the storm, working it all out, I'd be a fool not to stay in the will of God. So I just like am so grateful for the opportunity to come here, because I have a lot of gratitude, And staying in that humble space, that the space of humility with God, and just love in my heart, and just whatever happens, God, it's all up to you. It's what you want for me. You know, working a third step and 11th step has taken me there, because those are our spiritual steps. And in the third step, we give that control up, because that's what being in the will of God is, leaving that control right there, moving forward without control. And the 11th step, I pray and I meditate so I can continue to stand his will with the conscious contact, like the voice when he speaks to me in my own voice, that I know it's God talking to me and it's not my disease. You know, if you're new, stay. Don't keep, we say keep coming back, but I say stay. Because if you leave, you're going to miss the miracle. And the miracles happen every day. So you can't, you know, they say don't leave till the miracle happens. Don't leave, because miracles happen every day. A miracle happens. Waking up is a miracle. You know, if you're older, you know, like I'm up in age, waking up with no aches and pains, that's a miracle. So I'm staying, because I know whatever he has done for me, what he has for me, I'm good. Like, okay, God, it's all about you. I'm in surrender mode. So newcomer, stay. Don't leave. We need you. I need a newcomer in here to help me to stay clean, to remind me that if I go out there, I'm going to get the same thing I got some 20 years ago. Nothing changed out there. If anything, it's worse. You know, so thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me your time. And thank you for letting me share.
That was Geraldine from Boston, who now lives here with us, okay? And our second speaker, his topic is recovery, not just using drugs. This is Jerome from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm from my head. Can I pick this up?
Hey, Jerome.
Can I pick?
No, I don't think so, because I think if you do, you might mess up.
Okay. I'm a little nervous. I don't like speaking in front of people. So I do better one-on-one. But anyway, I'm Jerome Maddox. My clean date is either November the 3rd or November the 5th. The last time I got high, I hope this don't offend him, I smoked a $10 rock for 5 hours. And I say, I'm coming on back to the meeting now. Because I was one of the maggots that couldn't stay clean. You know, they say meeting makers make. For some reason, that didn't work for me. Now, I'm not saying it worked for you. But I went to the meeting, go back out, give me 18 months, 9 months, 10 months, and I relapse all the time. I said, man, what's wrong with me? I ain't dumb. Why I couldn't stay clean? So that's why the topic is recovery, not just using drugs. See, I'm not trying to stay clean today. I want you to know that. That might offend some. I'm trying to recover. Recovery altogether different than staying clean. Recovery is an active change of my thoughts and belief about me. If I don't change my belief about me, you still my problem. Yeah, if I don't change my belief, you still getting on my nerves. You hear me? He shouldn't have said that. It ain't what he said that got me disturbed, it's what I believe. So recovery is always examining my belief system all the time. So I need a program to deal with my belief system. Because when I put down the dope, the illness is physical, that's one third. The other one is mental and spiritual. Now, I ain't real smart, but two bricks is heavier than one brick. Now, if you take away the one brick and don't deal with the two bricks, the two bricks will lead me back to the dope. It ain't nothing physical. It's mental and spiritual that I ain't know nothing about. That's what took me back to the dope. That's what got me homeless clean. See, I didn't come to tell y'all no story. I come to share my experience. I've been homeless clean, been in the jail clean. It wasn't drugs that sent me to jail, but I hadn't worked on my character. So I'm in the meeting talking about don't use it. I ain't using no physical, but I'm using the same ideals and beliefs and getting the same result. So I got to come to the meeting to tell y'all don't use no matter what, because I ain't doing shit else. That got to be the slogan. Yeah, and then I'm gonna beat you up because I got me some clean time. I'm going to use the clean time to justify not getting in recovery. Because I'm going to use it. You know, addicts, we use us, man. We'll use anything to make ourselves feel good. And I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you now. If that fits you, that's your business. So what happened to me, man? I started getting involved in the program early in the game. Now, I got clean in the other fellowship, and a lot of people got problem with that. I ain't got no problem with no damn amen. Come on, man. I got clean in other fellowship because they don't have a lot of NA in Chattanooga. So the dude said, man, you can't say that. I said, you mean to tell me a letter got you disturbed, man? Come on, man. Come on, a letter, man. Come on. You just got through talking about God. That fake shit. Yeah. See, love is kind, thoughtful, and considerate. You sure ain't considerate when you doing that, man. So what happened? I went to the meeting in Chattanooga. Never forget it. I had me 9 months clean. You're in the workbook on page 31. They talk about the process we use to recover. It's step 4 through 9. 1, 2, 3, prepare me to look at me. Now, I hear people say, take your time. I don't know no crack addict or addict took their time to get high. Now, when I come to knock out anonymous, some knucklehead say, take your time with the step. Is you crazy? I do not have to understand the program in order for it to work. When you telling me to take my time, you telling me I need to understand. That's what you're telling me subliminally. I do not have to understand the mechanism of crack or heroin to shoot it. Why I got to do it in the program. So I took the steps early in the game. Didn't understand it. But get what I knew? When I did my fourth step, I said, there it is, Ron. There your problem. It wasn't physical, so the drugs out the way. But all my life, I thought y'all was better than me. So how you think I treated y'all? I had an attitude of indifference. Every time I came around, y'all, I sized you up. Yep. And I can't even cuss because look right in there. So every time I came, I sized you up because I wasn't all right with me. I didn't size you up because I felt good. I sized you up because I was uncomfortable. That's why I sized you up. So I just come to share about recovery after the drug. Once I put the dope down, the recovery process begins. So I need a program to recover. I don't need no program to stop smoking dope. That's some bullshit. I need a program to recover from what the dope did to me. The dope made me leave my 6 kids. So when I get off the dope, I got to go back home to these kids, and I don't know what to tell them, man. I was in the bathroom one day, and my little boy, Blake and Phillip, said, every time daddy get off that dope, he want to come back and try to tell us how to live. He said, how a man leave his family and know how to live? Wow. See, that's what dope fiend don't want to tell somebody what to do. Always quick to tell somebody what God said. I remember one day I told my sponsor, he said, man, God told me something. He said, what's his number, man? Because I'm finna call him and tell him that he dialed the wrong number. Always trying to tell somebody what somebody else said. The book, Knock Out Anonymous, said, honest sharing, risky business. And the longer I stay clean, the harder it is to talk about Jerome McCarty. I'll tell a story in a minute because that's what kept me high. You don't think I'll come in and tell y'all a recovery story? But to come in and not call them out and tell y'all how I'm doing, I damn near had to die to do that. I'm talking about clean. See, I was up in Knoxville homeless. Had lost my, I used to own recovery houses and shit. Lost the business. So I sponsored this one guy in Knoxville named Mark, Italian boy. He said, Ron, you want me to, he in good financial shape. He my friend too. Everybody need a friend like Mark. Yeah. He my friend. Because he showed me how to make a living without breaking the law. For real. Because that's what I used to do, breaking the law. So he said, man, I like you, man. You helped me in recovery. I'm going to show you how to get you some money. Took me 2 years to hear. I'm talking about I'm clean, too. I ain't using no dope. But my mind closed. Yeah, we ain't falling out with each other because your mind open. Yeah. You falling out because your mind closed. Yeah. Some of y'all saying I ain't got no business saying this. Right now, as I speak. Yeah, you ain't following me because my mind closed, man. I think it should go like this. But the book say diversity is our strength. Why I got to go like where I said go? And be at the meeting talking about you. Yeah. Because I ain't recovering from that physical. I'm recovering some mental and spiritual. And guess what I didn't know nothing about? Now, I had been in a Christian program and preached the word, but, you know, I preached the word for a minute. So did. Stole the church van 6 months later. So I knew the word. So I came in Nakalanami talking that fake God talk. So when I get here, as soon as somebody said something about God, I closed my mind because I already knew what they were talking about. So I'm kind of curious. You know, when you keep realizing, your mind will open up. But if you keep being broke and having problems with people, your mind will open up too. Mm-hmm. Keep boxing with each other in the meeting. And I got to box with a lot of people in the meeting. I say, something wrong. So I looked the word spiritual up. Come to find out, I ain't know shit about it. The word spiritual means thoughts and feelings. So whatever you think, that's what you're going to feel. I say, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You mean to tell me I done thought my way into feeling bad? You wasn't with me, it had to be me. I said, good God Almighty, I'm in there talking this fake God talk. What God said, he said, watch your thinking. I ain't know nothing about that. I was watching your thinking. Wasn't watching mine. Yeah, that's what I do. I watch you so I know which way to go. But the person that got me homeless wasn't nobody but me, man. It was me. So in this program, I started to do another inventory, and I realized, I said, I ain't know nothing about taking care of me spiritually. See, as a little boy, I was poor. And I thought being poor meant I was bad. I thought it, and it became true. See, I ain't recovering from nothing physical. I'm recovering some mental and spiritual. That's why the book say in order to recover, it ain't say stop smoking. No. You need a personality change. That's what the literature say. You can stop using and don't have no personality change. You just can't recover. You stop using for years in here. But you can't recover in here without using the program. So I need the 12 step to identify the illness. And I need the principles to dig that shit up. Yeah, I need the principles for real. See, I was just talking principles, you know, like, if I don't take your money, you don't take mine. That ain't no principle, that's survival shit. Yeah. Yeah, man. That ain't nothing to do with. You know, when I opened my mind up, I hear everybody. You know, I was in Johnson City, Tennessee. I'm traveling in recovery. You know, I got my own eBay, I got an antique business now. I ain't learning computers. I was 59 years old. So I was in Johnson City, Tennessee, and the meeting is 99.9% white. Yeah. I cussed the whole group out. I said, let me tell y'all something, man. Y'all done killed a lot. See, I used to blame it on being poor and black. Yeah. There's a bunch of rich white folks fucked up, too. So they helped me. They killed one of the lies because I blamed it on my genetics. The disease didn't have nothing to do with my circumstances. Yet I didn't know how to take care of me spiritually. I don't know how to take care of me. Why you think I'm fighting with you? Because I still think you my problem. And if I think it, it is. So I'm recovering from a state of mind that'll mess me up clean. Yeah, we ain't fighting. The book said, as long as the ties bind us together, all is what? But if I don't cut what's inside of me loose, I'm fighting in the meeting. Yeah, we falling out of the meeting all over the country, man. The book said we putting principle before what? I'm putting principle before my personality, not yours. It ain't your personality that got me disturbed, it's mine. They say, bro, put the principle before your own belief system. It's my belief that had me uncomfortable my whole life. It wasn't yours. Well, I put the principle before your personality. I don't even know you. Let me put the principle before my character, not yours. Yeah, that old crazy stuff. I'm clicking up. Yeah. In Nakalanami. What's that crazy? I used to hear some crazy stuff. I'm in some kind of group, no matter what. Nigga, Nakalanami Bill, no matter what. What you need a subtitle for? The dude came to not fix it, man. I'm in no matter what. I said, fool, you don't went crazy. This is no matter what. Come on. You need a subtitle for? This the only program with being hip, slipping, cool, I'll fuck you up. Come in here and be slick. Because the disease don't want me to be honest. Honesty is the antidote to my disease thinking. Now, when I'm being slick, I ain't being honest. Yeah, I'm not being honest, but I'm trying to say something clever. What I'm saying something clever, but everybody in the room suffer from the same thing. You know what I'm suffering from, man? Now, this just happened 3 months ago. Me and my daughter, I cussed out. Now I'm clean, 11 years. Yeah, I went crazy clean, so I'm talking about what happened today. When you hear somebody, I'm gonna make a statement in a minute. You can take it or you don't take it. I'm talking about how I'm doing today. I'm not talking about I came here November the 3rd or the 5th, 2004. That don't have no power today.
Come on.
What'll get me drunk today is lying today 10, 12 days in a row. So you using yesterday won't keep you clean today. I had a friend just relapsed who had 5 years, played in the movie lottery ticket. Went from homeless to playing in the movie lottery ticket. Went all the way to the Hilton. Not the Hilton, the Hamptons in New York. Mm-hmm. That's a rich area, right?
Yeah.
Now he back in jail. Yeah, man. Underneath the bridge again. He had knowledge of the program. I said, let me tell you something. Knowing this shit here, I'll fuck you up. Because knowing it, I caused me to become closed-minded again. And I tell you, man, I've been around here 15 years. We ain't nobody talking about how long you been here. We talking about how you doing. The book said honest sharing is risky business. Who you think they talking about? The book said the longer you stay clean, your chances get slim. Because they know we finna start lying. We finna start telling N.A. stories. Once upon a time when I first got here, don't nobody care about this shit. The newcomer don't care. The newcomer wanna know, how can you what? Get out of this pain. If you telling story, I miss the newcomer. Now, primary purpose of the group is what? To carry the message to the newcomer. That's why I'm here. Any newcomers in here? Hey, how you doing? Glad to see y'all. Hey, welcome, brother. I really come to carry the message. See, when I say I'm recovering from a hopeless state of mind, when I got here, I was an addict that couldn't stay clean. I started to jump off the bridge. Y'all said, they'll never forget it. I never thought that suicide would knock on my door, but it showed up. And my daughter, Ashley, appeared in my mind. See, Daddy, you still die a loser. See, I didn't want to kill myself because I wanted to kill myself. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's why I wanted to kill myself. But I didn't know there was a plan of action to get me out. See, if you look the word recovery up, it means plan of action. I get to knock it off and I'm going to get what they give me. They give me a plan of action. And if I take it, they say, never have we seen a person fail who lived. And I ain't talking about
living.
Yeah. I'm talking about living the principle where I wake up in the morning and I'm practicing being honest about how I feel about Jerome McCarty, not how I feel about your ass. How I feel about me. That's the root, that's the problem. How do you really, do you like where you're going? That's what I'm recovering from. See, all the time I was in the meeting, they were talking about don't use no matter what, but the drugs didn't take me to the drug. It was the mental and the spiritual part of this illness that I didn't even address.
Come on,
I addressed the physical part. Yeah. I ain't got to worry about wiping my booty if don't nothing come out. You ain't got to worry about that. What you keep talking about the physical for? Talk about the real problem, mental and spiritual. I need a program to address the mental and the spiritual part because it'll trick me. It'll trick me all the time. I can't even come in the meeting and talk honest because I'm clean. I got to tell a story. But that's going to help my life. That's not going to help my life, man. Honesty is the antidote to this disease. Honesty is the antidote. Not time, not knowledge. And then if I step on your toe, guess what they'll say? You need to get you some. You think that's helping the new man? That is not attractive, man. That's sarcasm, man.
Yeah, man.
Love, tolerance, and patience is the code of Narcotics Anonymous. That ain't love, man. That's sarcasm, man. That ain't attractive. When I was clean, I wasn't studying that shit you were talking about. Matter of fact, I used to say you need to get you one. I'm hurting and you fucking with me. And you think you saying something clever. You ain't helping me, man. Hey, how much time I got? About 15 more minutes? Okay, I'm all right. So anyway, recovering after the drug. So when I did step four, right, if you're new in here, I took the step early.
Come on.
I want y'all to know that. I did my four step less than 30 days clean. You all might not hear this, like I've been clean too. And then the first time I took the step, I went through the step and I relapsed after 9 months. Never will forget it. But I'm talking about I was hot because I just knew I had me something and I relapsed. So I get back to the beating and my old sponsor, funny motherfucker, he's the right guy. He said, wrong back. So I ain't even mad at him now. He said, oh, good Sharon Rome is back. Everybody laugh like y'all laugh. I ain't mad now, because I just smoked that $10 rock for 5 hours. Lip was white and everything. I wasn't stuck. I wanted to know what happened. So when I get back to the meeting, I say, hey, man, what happened? He said, you want the good news or the bad news? Nigga, just give me the news. So he said, well, wrong, tell you something. You know, most addicts, we sell to them. He said, you sold the 12-step program. I said, what? I'm just coming off high. I ain't been clean 3 hours.
Yeah, man.
He said, man, you sold the 12-step program. I said, what you mean I sold it? He said, you sold it. You told everybody about the steps. He said, guess what you forgot to do? I said, what? You forgot to take them. So the light went off. I said, oh. So I said, what I do on the next trip? He said, this is what I want you to talk about. Thank God for Dean. He said, the next 90 days, I want you to tell everybody how you feel about Jerome McCarty. For 90 days, that's what I talked about. If the topic was on humility, I said, man, I'm angry in a motherfucker. My head hurting. So when I got off the door, my legs shake like this. I'm shaking. So I come to the meeting and say, man, my leg's shaking and I can't be still. I ate 25 sandwiches yesterday. I'm just pumped. So the first time in life, y'all didn't threaten me. I felt some kinship in here. Cause I realized these motherfuckers fucked up too. They ain't visiting. They ain't in here cause like this the place to be. These motherfuckers at the end of the road too. I said, I felt cool. And then the sad thing, it was some people from college, gangsters, pimps, players, all kind of shit. And all of them was fucked up too. I mean, I wasn't studying y'all no more. So for the next 9 days, I talked about me. Never will forget it. So on the 94th day, I get this bright idea to move back to Birmingham. And I had been homeless in Birmingham 8 years struggling with drugs, for real. And I thought I had found me something. I knew it. I could feel it in my spirit. I sponsored my first guy with 96 days clean. He celebrated 11 years in January.
Yes,
you probably don't hear this too much. I gave him the 12 steps the way my sponsor gave it to me. And he's still clean today. I didn't change it. So I got ready to move back to Birmingham. And my sponsor made an announcement to me. He's a funny dude, too, man. He said, I got an announcement. Wrong finna move back to Birmingham. Because I like to gamble. It's just me lying. I like gambling. Yeah. Y'all might not like it. I like it. So anyway, he make an announcement into me. Wrong finna move back to Birmingham. And you know he can't stay clean when he moved back to Birmingham. I cussed that nigga out to me. So in the process of cussing him out, he had showed me how to work that process in the workbook on page 31, step 4-9, where we try to sort through the confusion that got you confused. See, something got me confused, so I used the process to sort through the confusion that had me confused. So I said, I'm angry at Dean, because he told everybody I was going back to Birmingham. And I asked myself, are you scared to go back to Birmingham? I say, yeah. It took me 94 days to start lying again. So after me, I say, hey, Dan, I need to holler at you, buddy. What you want, nigga? I ain't bad because I done sort through the confusion. He ain't got me disturbed. The book say, failure to take personal responsibility, we create our own what? Wow. So I was making myself disturbed. He didn't do it. I got that down pat. I say, hey, man, why you didn't tell me I was scared to go to Birmingham? He said, why you didn't tell them people in the meeting that you were scared to go to Birmingham? I said, oh. He said, what you do when you got scared? I said, I use that plan you gave me. He said, when you get to Birmingham, I want you to use that same plan. I said, good God Almighty, I got me a plan that'll work if I work it. See, the program is designed to change my belief system. The fellowship is just for me to come here and identify with y'all. But the program is the 12 steps and the principle. So why would you tell a person to delay the process? You ain't no psychiatrist, you an addict. Where you get your experience at to tell somebody he ain't ready? How you know that? How you know God ain't using this person to say to get down? You ain't got time to wait. You suffering from a fatal illness that'll kill you, man. When they gonna kill me? It ain't no time frame. Should I take the medicine today or next year? We need to stop telling people that bullshit, man. If you ain't took the steps, you need to get out the way, man. And stop using clean time to bully people, man, and knock ours and ours. Stop bullying us, man. We dying, man, at an alarming rate. People relapsing at an alarming rate and knock out and all over the country, man. This shit real, man. This some serious, this serious, man. This business. My whole, you know, I'm sorry, I skipped around. You know, I don't like talking in front of people. But anyway, my daughter, I cussed out 3 months ago. One of the saddest moments in my life. My friend over there, she's a good friend of mine. I talk about all the time. Literally. That's my sister. We argue all the goddamn time. Yeah. We don't argue because I don't like it. She says some shit I don't want to hear. So I cuss out. And we don't talk for 2 weeks. I do Julius and Roger like that. You better get you some people like that. They say, man, I don't want to hear that shit you talking about. And hang up. And then I call them back. Fuck you mean by hanging up? Well, I don't want to talk to you like a little kid. Then I think about it. She told me one day, Sidron, you just like me, you just had the program. Fuck is you talking about? I sponsor a lot of motherfuckers. She said, but you ain't did nothing but stop smoking dope. Yeah. Man, fuck you. Yeah. But it was the truth. Yeah. All I had done was stop. I hadn't used the principle to change my belief system. At 11 years, I'm just starting to realize it was something way more serious than drugs driving. You wrong. Yeah, it was something deep. My belief kept me sick. And on page 31, they talk about many of us believe that the seed, you know, when you're talking about a seed, that shit deep in you. It done fermented. It done grabbed roots. Something inside of me, driving me beyond my understanding. But when I took the steps, I went out and met him. I said, yeah, motherfucker, you got some trouble now. See, one thing about Eddie, you better not give us the truth. We'll take it to the White House. Yeah, you give us some facts. We real good when it comes to facts. Yeah. So get back to my daughter. I think this is important. So I cussed out and shit. She ain't one of them alternative lifestyles and shit. And I got 3 grandchildren. I ain't like it. And so me and my ex-wife wasn't getting along too. This is just some recent shit. So I like talking about how I'm doing. I don't care about what y'all think. What's bothering me ain't what y'all think. What's bothering me is what I think. Fuck, I can't tell y'all what I'm thinking. I was all in school and couldn't tell the teacher I was slow. I ain't coming here for that shit no more. Fuck, I coming here praying with y'all for. I was slow in school. I wasn't dumb. I was slow. I was scared to raise my hand because I knew I was slow. But I wasn't dumb. You think I'm going to come in here fucking with y'all? Trying to pretend? I ain't going. So anyway, I ain't going. I'm trying to get all right with me. Anyway, so I cussed my daughter out and I said, damn, wrong. You cussed a little girl out that you left for 10 years? Damn. That's a sick person, ain't it? But she didn't do what I wanted her to do. She didn't talk the way I wanted her to talk, and I emotionally abused my little girl with my slick talking ass. I said, wrong, why you hurt her? You know why I hurt her, don't you? I hadn't addressed my own pain, and I bullied her. Tell me I ain't using. I told my daughter that now. Who you talking to? I ain't using. I told my daughter that, man, the little girl that left for 10 years. I put the dope fiend move on her. I told her I ain't using. But I was using. I was using the same belief system that had got me in trouble my whole life. I was using fear. So about 3 weeks ago, I called up and I said, hey, Corey, this is your dad. Because I ain't talked to her. You know, I treated her like she was a stranger. How sick is that, man? I can't, because a man mean to change, man. A man don't mean to say you're sorry. A man mean to look at a situation and say, man, this didn't pay off here. Come on. You better not keep using that anger and resentment with people because you're going to have the same results. Yeah. See, I was using closed-minded. The book said what's indispensable is honest, old man, and willing to. I had closed my mind. When I closed my mind, you know I was lying. So if I closed my mind, I ain't willing to correct it. I stayed stuck with my daughter, with my little girl that I had abandoned for 10 years. Come on, tell them. I ain't practicing honest old man. What if I'm talking shit into me? Mm-hmm. We're talking about recovering after the drugs. Man, nobody talking about those drugs. The book say this book was written for people seeking what? Recovering. Drugs is a symptom. Fuck, we keep talking about symptoms. What? All the time it's about the symptom. Why, that's why we keep realizing we treating the symptom instead of treating the problem. The problem is I'm spiritually sick. That's the problem. And because I don't use the principle, honesty, old man, and willingness, I stay sick. Like I heard this girl, Jerome, I sure told him. I said, what you mean you told him? You ain't supposed to got up here and told nobody shit. You supposed to share your pain with people. Fuck is you telling somebody something, but this ain't no theater. You supposed to share honestly about how you living with yourself. The book say honest sharing is what? Risky business. They know we ain't gonna tell the truth. We gonna tell a damn story, man. And I'm talking about me, I ain't talking about y'all, man. I promise I ain't. Y'all ain't that important. Y'all ain't that damn important. Cause when I lay down tonight, I gotta take my inventory. And say, hey, Ron, was you honest tonight? The 10th step is the key. The book say, the book in a book, they're talking about step 4 through 9 in the book. It say, my defects are put me in a corner where I won't be able to come out what? Well, why are we talking about drugs all the time? Come on. All over the crowd, they talking about don't you, no matter what. And what's going to drive me back to the dope is my character. Right. It ain't going to be no thought of using. Right. It's going to be my character. That's what's going to drive me back to the dope, my character. What drive me to cuss Rodney out, going to be my belief system. Going to be my character. So when my daughter, I get emotional, man, because it's real. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, I made amends to her, and she called me daddy again. I think I hear people making statements, I think kind of erroneous, say, man, I ain't going to buy my kids. I say, the pain I got with my kids, I paid for it, fool. The relationship I got, I bought that relationship by being emotional negligent. Now I ain't gonna pay to get it back. Where willingness at? I bought that relationship, man. They didn't give it to me. Yeah, so I got to pay to get it back, man. I got to do some work, some self-sacrifice, some leveling of my pride, take away some of my thoughts and beliefs, man, in order to build a relationship with a person that's supposed to be natural, it's almost unnatural, man. Yeah. Have I ran out of time? I got 4 minutes? I ain't got tired of talking now. But anyway, man, it's been a real pleasure. I always turn down speaking engagement. I don't know. I prefer work with people one-on-one than telling stories. One of the books say, in the 12 books, 12 steps, it said that in the book, it talk about my best guarantee against relapse is working with others. Now, I ain't talking about talking. Work. I ain't talking about calling on the phone. I'm talking about introducing to this life-saving message called the 12 steps and the principle. That's working with others. If you ain't introducing to the 12 step, you ain't working with him. You playing with him. That's working with others. When you take him through the 12 step and introduce him to his problem, which is himself, that's working with others. That's what my sponsor did to me. He sit me down and guide me through the step. He said, Ron, you see the problem? I said, yeah. He said, you got everything you need to make it on the journey. Good luck. I said, where you going? I gave you everything you need, Ron, to make it on the journey. That's working with others. Anything else, I'm just talking. So, well, I'm just real glad to be here. I'm glad y'all invited me. I ain't scared of y'all no more, so I'm just glad to be here. Thank you, Dad.
Just staying here just for the night.
Okay.